you would turn in the scriptures to Deuteronomy and chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And we'll be reading the whole chapter. And if you're using your pew Bible, the black pew Bible, it's on page 302. Deuteronomy 22, we'll read verses 1 through 30. And God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention to them. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. You shall do the same with his donkey, and so shall you do with his garment. With any lost thing of your brother's, which he has lost and you have found, you shall do likewise. You must not hide yourself. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fall down along the road and hide yourself from them. You shall surely help him lift them up again. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. If a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way, in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her, and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found she was not a virgin. Then the father and mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidences of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take that man and punish him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, and he cannot divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, and evidences of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a woman, young, with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall put away the evil from Israel. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from among you. But if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so in this matter. For he found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, And the man who lay with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor uncover his father's bed. And those are God's words. As we have gone going through Deuteronomy, we're learning and the Lord through Moses is expounding upon the Ten Commandments as it has to do with the nation of Israel, as it has to do with Israel's worship, all preparing them for entering the Promised Land. And this chapter has many commands regarding first preservation, but also love of neighbor, which is the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourself. And so verses 1 through 4, the 5th and 8th commandment are expounded, helping your neighbor with their animals when needed. Verse 5, the 7th commandment, not wearing as a man woman's clothing or as a woman men's clothing. That's an abomination to the Lord, and that still an abomination to the Lord today. Verses 6 through 7, the preservation of birds, of other animals. Verse 8, the preservation of life, in keeping with the sixth commandment. And in verses 9 through 11, other laws regarding mixtures of things. In other words, in all those that we've just covered, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Don't be selfish, but think of the best interests of your neighbor too. And to teach us this again, Jesus gave us in the New Testament the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. The rest of the passage is an exposition on the seventh commandment, which is thou shalt not commit adultery, and that for the nation of Israel. So verses 13 through 19, protecting the reputation of an innocent wife who is abused. But also verses 20 and 21, if she is guilty, the punishment that should be given is provided there. Verse 22, the punishment of adultery was death. Verses 23 to 27, the relations with engaged young ladies, or betrothed young ladies, or virgins. The punishments for breaking that engagement through fornication or adultery. The law also for Israel of those young ladies who are not engaged. And then verse 30, the very last verse, laws against incest. Of all the application of this last half of the chapter, our society has virtually no care for these things. Even in the broader church, we have little care for the keeping of the seventh commandment. Today there is little care for preparation in marriage. There's little care for protecting ourselves, for protecting our children from sexual sins, pornography, or other sexual sins. But it's gross in the sight of the Lord, as you can see here, as it was applied to Israel. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And yes, even as divorce was brought up, the scripture says in Malachi, God hates divorce. Because marriage points to that imaging forth of God and Christ and the church. And Christ and the church should not be divorced. We should not divorce ourselves from Christ or from His church. And so, marriage is the same. God hates divorce. And so we ought to pray for reformation in godliness for ourselves, for the church, for our children, and also for our nation. If you are in sexual sin, then you are to turn from it unto the Lord God in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful for these laws, these commandments you gave to the nation of Israel and their civil laws, the laws of the nation. And we're thankful that we know, as 2 Timothy 3 teaches us, that even these words apply to us today. Not that we should go around punishing people exactly according to what we see here, but that what we do see is sin described. And what we do see is that you do not like this sin, these sins of breaking the fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, the seventh commandment, the eighth commandment, etc. You don't like those sins. You hate those sins. You condemn those sins. You say the wages of sin is death. But we are thankful for the free gift of God in Christ Jesus, in the gospel, that He lived a perfect righteous life, died a perfect death for all who believe on Him, that they would be saved from their sins. And that, of course, is offered to each one of us today, that we ought to turn from our sins unto Christ and believe unto salvation, lest we receive that condemnation. We are condemned already if we don't believe. Father, may You deliver us from such condemnation through the mercy of Your Son and by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Change our hearts to love You, to not be like the world, but to come out from among the world and live holy lives for Christ Jesus. Father, as we've considered in the past week and made many prayer requests concerning the health of various people here, because of the flu or other sicknesses, we give You praise that many of them are feeling better. We're thankful that Jillian is feeling better today. We ask that You would be with her in her joints and going to see her doctor again. We pray that You would give wisdom to the doctors and heal her, Father. We ask that You would be with Patricia and that You would heal her muscle spasms and her struggles she's dealing with. And Father, we're thankful that she has some medicine she's been able to take to help that pain. And also thankful that Larry and Patricia were able to go to Georgia and see their son graduate from basic training, and ask that You would be with Josh as he's on his way to Germany now. You protect him, but that You would also find, give him a place to worship You there, and that he would enjoy and take part in for Your glory. Father, we ask that You would be with Patty, who's still not feeling well, and Dave, who's with us here, and his voice, that You would help him and heal his voice. I ask that You would be with, we give You praise for healing Jeannie. She's feeling better this week, and many others, Father, who are feeling better. You've answered our prayers concerning. We ask that You would be with April Watson, and thankful that she, in her car accident, wasn't more severely hurt, that You saved her from that, delivered her from that, and that You have allowed her and given her enough strength this week to worship You with Your people. And so we give You praise for that. Father, we pray and ask for Your help with our nation, with the church. There is much sin that is going on in the church and in the nation and in all nations. None have bowed the knee to You. No leaders have. And yet You say they will. And so we pray that they will, that You would save such kings and rulers and presidents and governing officials, that You would cause them to rule according to Your word, that You would bring about a reformation in the church, that would bring about a reformation in our nation and many other nations that we know and love. Father, we ask that You would also bless Your people. Bless us as we continue worshiping You today. Bless all those churches meeting throughout the world. We give You praise for the church in Chile who yesterday were received members for the first time. And today they had for the very first time a baptism, and they're celebrating the Lord's Supper. We give You praise for that church in Chile that is by themselves, and we're thankful that we're in our denomination able to help them, and pray that You would bless their time today, even as they meet again later. We ask that You would bless the Columbia congregation as they hear candidates for pastor in March. I think two more men are coming to candidate. We ask that You would give them wisdom and bring about the right man for that call. And I'll praise You for the baby born, Priscilla, and thankful that the labor and delivery went well with Faith and her, and are thankful for this new blessing to your church, and ask that you would grow her up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, even through the instruments of her parents in the church, and that she would not know one day without that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray that for all of our children, that not one more day would go past, that they would be living outside of Christ, but they would love your Son, they would love the gospel. And just as we pray for all of our children, even Levi here this morning, who, Lord willing, will be baptized. And Father, we ask that you would bless us, your people. Though we have many struggles, maybe downcast or despairing, Father, may in all things we look to you and give you the glory and praise, because we know that all things you work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And this we hope in. And this is our prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.